This is work I did over the summer at SRI with Ashish Gahani and Natarajan Shankar. And the problem that I'm going to talk about today is dealing with streams of provenance information. So systems that collect low-level provenance generate lots and lots of data. For example, Nathaniel told you about the SPADE provenance system, which can collect I/O system calls for an entire system, right? And you can really quickly generate thousands of provenance edges by doing this, right? So if you have a compiler or something that writes a lot of files, you're going to generate a lot of system calls. And we need some way to manage all of this data so that we can reduce our storage requirements or just make it easier to understand the provenance when we get out, right? We don't necessarily care about all these system calls. We really just wanted to know what files were written or what files were read. And the way SPADE solves this problem is it uses provenance filters. So these are programs that run as you collect the provenance information and transform it somehow to make it easier to store or reason about. So a running example that I'm going to use throughout the talk is one of these filters. And what it does is it aggregates I/O system calls for consecutive sequences of reads or writes. So as long as I'm still reading, don't consider that a new event. It's all part of the same read event. But once I write, I want to actually start record the fact that that read was done and I started to write so I can maintain some like causality constraints or something in my provenance graph. So what does one of these look like in SPADE? This is the Java code that implements the IO runs filter in SPADE. And I don't actually want you to figure out what this does. My point is it's actually hard to look at this and actually say, what does it do, right? So if I give you this Java code, can you tell that it implements that filter? It took me about 20 minutes to figure out exactly what all was going on to make this work. But a more interesting question I think it presents is to actually figure out what does the provenance that you get out of this filter actually mean, right? If I see some edge in my provenance graph in the final product, what did that mean about what I was collecting at the beginning? And so to answer these questions and make doing this easier, we're going to propose a declarative programming language for processing provenance metadata kind of in real time. The logic we propose is, we've called it a simple event logic, because it's pretty simple. It's data log, plus just enough extra semantics to let us talk about events. So this is based on some really interesting work that's happening in like the declarative networking community with languages like Overlog and Datalist or Bloom, and some older stuff as well. And basically, the key thing that kind of frames this language is it's data log plus, but instead of operating just on one fact database, you're acting on a stream of events. And so events are going to be represented as data log facts that are true at some particular point in time. And we're going to use inference rules to generate new facts or new events that are going to allow us to actually do computation. What we're adding to data log is a single temporal operator, which I'm going to call previously and write with this little blue question mark, that lets me refer to whether or not some event happened in the immediately preceding time step. So let's look at a little example to make this more concrete. So this is a module in our logic. A module is a program that operates on a stream of events and outputs a new stream of events. So this is the delta module, and it operates on a stream of values, and it produces a stream that describes the changes between those values from one time point to the previous one. So it has a single inference rule that says a change event happens if a value event happens, and there was previously a value event that had a different value. And we're going to give an attribute on this event that says the its value is the difference between the new one and the old one. So if we look at what's happening over time here, when we first get a value event on the input, nothing's going to happen because our inference rule can't fire. There was no previous event. When we get a new event, though, we can actually use this inference rule to create a new event. So we'll generate a change event that says the difference between the current value and the old one is 1. Okay? And if we get another event, we're going to do the same thing. But the important thing is the semantics, we have just enough to talk about time. So when I have this previously rule, I'm only going to refer to the immediately preceding time step. So at this point, the change is going to be negative 1 because I'm just talking about it went from 1 to 0. Another thing I'll point out here is that we're using a very discrete and abstract notion of time. So time only passes for a module when some input event happens. And so no matter how long it takes before the next event happens, nothing happens inside the module. This is going to let me abstract stuff in a nice way to compose bigger programs. So finally, I have another event happen. And interestingly here, I wanted to point out, events are just data log facts. So at any point in time, I can have any number of them happen. So at this point in time, I had two different values, 1 and 2. And I'm going to kind of use the same data log semantics to say when I'm looking at this rule, I'm going to consider all the possible values. So I'll get two of facts here, one that says the change from this value of 2 was 2, and one that says the change from 0 to 1 was 1. And similarly, if I have another event, but just one this time, I'm still going to consider the fact that there were two values in the previous time step, and I'll get two changes out. OK, so now we have a logic that lets us reason about time in some way. How can we talk about provenance? What we're going to do is use a fairly standard encoding of provenance in Datalog. So we're going to represent provenance as edges and vertices in some graph with some optional attributes that we can attach to them. And this is pretty standard. Paulo's encoding of prov in Datalog does basically the same thing. It actually also matches with how Spade was representing provenance graphs in its streaming transformers. It talks about edges and vertices and the attributes they have. Okay, so let's talk about processing provenance. So we had this big scary program. What I'm going to do now is guide you through what this might look like in our new language. So here it is. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to import a module that I don't define here that provides some basic primitives for me. So it's going to let me buffer events while I'm waiting to find out what to do with them. And it's going to give me a primitive for aggregating two provenance information together. So if I have two nodes and I say aggregate them, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of the attributes and stuff from one of them and attach it to the other node. So this is going to let me take all of those read events, say, and just compile them into a single edge in my graph. Okay, so I'm going to use this to build up my provenance filter. So the first thing I want to say is that if I get a vertex in my graph and it's not an artifact, then I don't care about it as far as filtering these I/O events, so just pass it on to the next layer, emit it from the buffer. And if I get an edge, I only care to reason about it if it's a used edge or a was generated edge, otherwise let it go. Okay. And then we'll actually start doing the interesting part, which is talking about the semantics of what I wanted my filter to do. So I'll define a read event is what happens when a process reads a file through some artifact representation. So this is what happens if I have a used edge from a process to an artifact, and I know from the metadata on that artifact that it represents some file with some location. Okay, and then I can talk about the semantic notion of what it means to have a run of I/O read events that happen. So I can say a process is reading a file. If I see one of these read events and I didn't already know that the process was reading the file. And similarly, if I'm reading a file, then I continue reading it. So if I was previously reading it, I'm reading it now as long as I didn't write. Right, so this says an I/O run continues until a write happens. And if I were actually implementing this, I might also want a rule here that says, or the process ends, or the file was closed, or something like that. But I've left that out for simplicity. And now we have these nice semantic definitions that talk about what we wanted our filter to do. And we can use that module I talked about to say things like, if I'm currently reading a file, and I see another read happen, then just aggregate the provenance information associated with that new event with the one that I've been tracking all along. And then finally, if I'm in the middle of some read event and I see a write, I like to just stop tracking that and emit it from my buffer and pass it to the next layer of filters or storage or whatever I'm doing. So what I'd like to argue is that this program is much simpler than that Java program I first showed you, right? And in particular, the fact that we have this domain-specific language for events lets us talk about concepts like what it means to be reading a file by observing provenance information, right? And doing different things based on that. And I can also kind of abstract some useful concepts like what does it mean to buffer an event or aggregate it or something like that. The other cool thing about this is I kind of have a built-in query language, right? Since I took Datalog and I added a little, it means that any of the other really cool stuff people have been doing with using Datalog to reason about provenance, like the talk we just saw, right, you can do in this language and kind of, but while you're processing the data in the first place. So I can try and come up with interesting new queries that I might want to do on provenance as I gather it. I also didn't talk about it now, but we have a nice simple formal semantics for this language that basically takes it and translates it back to Datalog without this temporal operator, which means we can start to reason about what it means and what it's doing. And my hope there is we can kind of use that to talk about provenance of provenance kind of ideas, right? So if I have some provenance graph that I generated using a system that was using a language like this to process it, then I can ask questions like, if I saw an edge in the graph with some attributes or something, what was the data that was input to that filter that resulted in it, right? If I see that there's a reading edge in the resulting provenance graph, I can look at this program and say, well, at some point there must have been a read, right? And I know a little more than I did when I just had some Java program processing my events. So we've looked at some other applications too, other types of filters that Spade implements now. For instance, Spade has ability to capture like function call level information from running processes. So we looked at using this system to try and pare that down to just what you care about. And we also looked at the idea of aggregating provenance from different sources by, say, matching on attributes. But again, part of what I think is exciting about this work is that there's some cool opportunities for new ideas. So last year at this conference, Rachapalli and all talked about using provenance to reason about security. So they talked about basically like tracking the taint of artifacts and processes in the system. And we can actually implement this as a program in this language, right? And in kind of real time, as we're processing provenance events from our system, we could say get alerts that tell us when some secret file leaked to the network via a sequence of writes to files and reads from processes and things. And my hope is that other people might see this and think of other interesting novel ideas for online provenance queries, taking ideas from offline provenance and applying it in this space. So in conclusion, I kind of have 2 points I want to leave you with. The first is that I think declarative programming makes processing provenance easier, and that I can use kind of semantic concepts nicely, and also that it makes it easier to reason about what they're doing, and that is going to let us do some interesting things in the future. And also that there's some exciting opportunities for considering how we can actually use provenance as it's collected, not just once we get it in some big database later. Thanks.